bless and honor you. Thank you for all the work that you do behind the scenes. Bless all the volunteers. Thank you. Thank you, sound technicians, video people. Just bless you guys. Thank you. Honor the worship team just for they've been such a delight to work with. So I want to bless that too. And thank you. I just always find it a privilege when, you know, when Rob said we come with fear and trembling, it's true. I'm like, we've got these ones. All righties. Three of the same. Right here. All right. I'm going to tell you something. This is a live album, but the songs that are on here, we have been doing at this time. And if we haven't done them, we might do a couple tomorrow. So one person from that side come here, one person from the middle, one person from this. You give them out. See? Oh, you can get one anyways. Any project that we've done, it's fun, having fun. Any project that we've done, we've really, it's the songs that we write, we kind of write in a very different way every time. Some of the songs that come that are spontaneous, like Finn was singing tonight about I Can't Take My Eyes Off You, Beautiful Bride. That came as a prophetic song. That's actually on that CD as well. And track two, thank you. And the thing about the prophetic sound is that it captures the now, and when you go into an encounter, you can revisit that place. I like what Graham Cook says. He says it's a key to your vineyard. So when you have a key to the vineyard, God brings you into an encounter. You're welcome to life, but I want you to actually go somewhere else, because you're going to be totally distracting in the front row, if that's okay. I'm so sorry. I love the freedom. But just while I get started, I might just get completely. He's having an encounter. Bless him, God. May it get worse. Give him a key for the vineyard, Lord. I think he's got about a dozen keys for that one. I just want to thank him for his presence. Father, we just want to thank you. We just thank you right now for your presence. Father, we want to thank you for what you have done in each and every single person. We want to thank you for what each one carries. We want to honor the body of Christ. And we thank you, Father, for your redemption. Thank you for the work that you did because of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have consumed yourself, your son, into yourself, and you've consumed us all with him and in him. Thank you that you've unified us because of your spirit. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for your revelation, for your wisdom, for your settling wings, for your sense of just impact into our spirits. Thank you for the way you teach each individual and you open up treasures for them, Lord. So we just welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome just who you are. We welcome the way you speak to us, the way you enter our realm of understanding and you impact us and transform us. We want to welcome your sounds in this place. We want to welcome your activity in this place. And we thank you for the angelic realm. We thank you for every assistant that you've sent, for every heavenly deacon that you've sent like a missile to this place. We want to honor that, and we just want to speak to the airwaves. We want to say we bless you, Pine Town. You are open gates. You are open gates to the spirit of praise. You are open gates to the spirit of glory. You are open gates to the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You are open gates for the gospel to go out with peace. You are open gates, and we welcome the sound of the land. We welcome the sound of the land. We welcome the sound of the land in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for the sound of little children that just dance in the streets, Lord. We just see, Lord, just as we close our eyes, we just want to ask, Holy Spirit, won't you just literally impregnate our imagination with what you were doing in the streets, Lord, with people that are waiting for taxis, people that are going to work, coming back from work, that are experiencing your goodness, that are able to dance and speak of the wonders of God and pray for one another and release glory to one another. And we thank you that you are doing a mighty work and that you are doing this one person at a time. One person at a time. We thank you for every small work, and we thank you for every great work. We thank you for every little child. We thank you for every old person. We thank you, God, for transgenerational blessings, for transracial blessings. We thank you, God, that you're a God who has all nations and tribes around your throne. That you're a God who's surrounded with the sounds of the earth. That you're surrounded by the different sounds of waters from different lands. You are surrounded by the voices of Turkish, of the Turkish worshipers, and those in Europe who come with refined instruments, and those with bells, and those with wooden drums. And we just thank you, God, that your picture is so full, and that heaven is so full of the manifestation of the sons of glory, that these sons are surrounding your throne because we are in the heavens with you. And we thank you for a manifestation of what is happening right now in the heavens to make itself real to each and every single person sitting here. We thank you for each other, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm so sorry if I keep my eyes closed. It's because I get into a zone. It's not because I don't want to see you. I just get into a zone and I just want to stay there. Because I don't know how to do this by myself, truly. The voice of the Lord, I felt like it was so cool what we were singing about the waters of God, because I'm going to show you from Scripture, from Revelation, that the voice of God is actually one voice, but it comes out in many ways, and actually His voice is visible. His voice is visible. Everything that you see around you that is created by God, that is creation, is visible. It was created by His voice. Everything that is vibrating right now with a different vibration, because every particle of matter vibrates and resonates at a different frequency. And so what happens when you come into alignment with the same frequency as the voice of God, things shatter. You know, in the Psalms, it speaks about the voice of the Lord shattering Assyria. Assyria was oppressive. Assyria is like oppression. It's actually a dark cloud. Do you know that the voice of oppression is a voice? The voice of anxiety is a voice. Any reality in your life that is not shifted by anything is actually a presence of a sound. Every bit of your imagination is actually a sound first. The voice of God is a big deal. It really is a big deal. If the smallest particle is actually a wave sound, a sound wave. So you are created out of a whole lot of sound waves. If we had to break you down to the smallest particle, you are vibrating sound waves. Did you know that sound travels faster in water? Much faster. And so if you're mostly made of water, He's made it so that you can hear the sound of His voice much quicker. Because His voice can travel through your voice. But you know what? You're also spirit. And do you know that's the speed of spirit? How can that be measured? So you have many supernatural things happening in your life right now. It's true. How many of you have had, like, last night I went home different to what I came in? How many of you can say that? What was that? That was the voice of God coming to us. And in sometimes a split second, and for some people it'll be one aspect of revelation, to another person it'll be something else, but the sound of His truth adjusts you and changes you in a way that you could be trying forever. In fact, some of you have been trying forever to change. How many have ever tried to change themselves? Do you know that we change because we reflect? You know when it says we who with unveiled faces, because there's no more shame and there's no more separation. See, there's no more separation anxiety in his presence. You can't be separated from him. He's holding on to you much harder than you could hold on to him. Yeah. He's strapped you to him. It's like you can't fall off God. He's not going to lose you. I don't think he's lost any of his kids. He's a pretty good father.
Come on.
So this reflection, when it says we with unveiled faces all reflect his glory, are being transformed. We are being transformed. What's that? You know, his presence is his sound. Heaven is full of sound. There's sound. There is sound. There is sound. The sounds that angels make, it's because they come from the face. When you come from the face, you change. Your sound changes. I sometimes think about, I don't know, because there's no time with God, but he had a long time to think before he created, because like he's forever. Do you ever like trip out in your brain, just go, just fall off the edge of your mind? You just go, I can't get there, you know, like he's forever.
Yeah.
And kids go, hey, what do you mean like he's forever? Like, where did he start? No, he didn't. He always was.
Yeah.
So how long did he have to think before he created? Forever. He created time zone just as a short like stint, and then it's forever. So we're actually in the heavens with God looking at time, and anything can change, and everything can change. His voice. Wow, God was created before he spoke, but he had to speak to create. So you have something in you that has to come out of you in order to create something. If what you've created you don't like, you're going to have to change that sound. The only way you're going to change that sound is you're going to have to go to the face and reflect his sound. And that's what we were hearing about last night. I'm just taking it from a whole nother angle. Because the eternal Father, the eternal glory, the eternal realm that we were created and birthed from is what we're reflecting back onto the earth. His voice is faster than the speed of reason. It infiltrates every subconscious reality with the challenge. And the challenge is this: his voice is the art of change. Nothing changes without him saying it is so. And so when something in you changes supernaturally, you got to know he said it. So it's done. And some of you have doubted what he's done in your life because you think it was you. You're terrified it's going to get any better because then you're going to have to sustain it. Sometimes people are more terrified of success than they are of failure because they think they're going to have to sustain this. But if you keep changing because of what he's done, he's sustaining it. That's why it says he sustains all things by the power of his word. His word is his intention. His word is his voice, and it comes with his intention. It comes with his meditation. He really thought a lot before he put us on the planet. He's not overwhelmed by the number of children he has. He really isn't. He's coping so well. I love to hear the tension of people that grieve for what's happening on the earth. And believe me, I grieve too sometimes. I hear just the atrocities that happen in war, or you just have to look just slightly back at history, or even at the news. Just turn that remote, and you just see some of the stuff that's going around the planet. I don't do that a whole lot. I need time between news briefings, and I watch the short version, because it's just sometimes just depressing, isn't it? But God doesn't grieve the way we think he does, because he's not in time. So he's not thinking, oh my God, I didn't see this coming. This is awful. It's going to be 10 more years of this. He provides a way for us to come into his mechanism, his view. You know, when he brings us into his presence is a castle. Did you know that? When we come into the instruction of the Lord, you know that the word instruction, when the Bible says instruct with the word of God, let the word of God be for the instruction, the correcting, the admonishing. That word instruction is where we get the word for structures of buildings. So structure is what is actually covering us and protecting us right now. We are presently inside the structure of this building. When you come inside the instruction of God, you are coming inside the structure of who he is. The dominion of his castle, and you have a castle view, top story, the penthouse, as Chris Valentin says. You come into the highest way of thinking, which is God's way of thinking. And it isn't because he changed his mind. He doesn't need to change his mind about who you are. Shakuma. Your voice is more than a sound. It is an expression. The cloud. Shiva. Oh, Jesus. Wow. God gives us spiritual pictures, physical pictures to show us spiritual realities. So a woman who is 9 months pregnant and is waddling around, and she is full, and she's surrounded by water inside. And this little baby that's kicking around and just busting to get out because it's now cramped in there is surrounded by water. And when those waters break, the baby can be birthed. It's kind of harder to give birth when those waters haven't broken. Never mind, don't worry, men. We're not going to go into the realities of that experience. We'll go right above that and get to the stage of the fact that there is nothing is birthed without waters. Jesus, with the woman at the well, he meets her at the well. And he sends her back to a town called, is it Sychar? How do you say that? Sychar? Do you know that places actually means drinks? To drink. So she goes back to the place that is actually a place where people drink, it's fermented drink. She brings the whole town back to meet him. He had said to her, this drink I'm giving you is going to become something else in you. It's going to get bigger in you. You're going to waddle around. You're going to look different. It's going to birth out of you, and you will never be the same. You know, women, your bodies are never the same. Okay, you're all, what is it here? Are you all shy? Is it okay to talk about these things, or is it culturally no-go? I've been in Australia too long. It's like, yeah, ha-ha, they'll be laughing, that's right. Come on, Sheila. No, okay. You're really quiet. Are you all right? I find oxygen really helps. If you just breathe in and breathe out, I find oxygen in the brain actually helps. Your body doesn't go back to the same. I'm sorry, you see those people that have been, what was it called? Their bodies are changed in those pictures. What is it called? Airbrushed. They've been airbrushed. I'm telling you. Or they've gone under the surgeon's knife to remove stuff, which is fabulous for people to do that. But I'm telling you something. It didn't look like that before. It's
It's
never the same. When you birth something in the spirit, you're changed. Waters come out of you because those waters are sound. He said to her, you worship what you do not know. In other words, your words are coming out, but there's no reality because you don't understand what you're saying. Have you ever had that feeling where you're just saying something, you go, I don't even believe this. You look around. Or you say it with conviction, you think, I just don't know why it's not coming out with the same punch. It's like, it's really real for me. Jesus was the most real person because he was truth made flesh. He became the sound fleshed out and became living waters. Living waters is the sound that comes out of the mouth of God. Living waters is what comes out of him. Living waters is what we are birthed from. How did that happen? How did the Holy Spirit hover over Mary's body and she had waters and a baby? How did he do that? It says that he hovered. There was a vibration. There was a sound that hovered. At creation, and right in the beginning, the Holy Spirit was hovering. It's like the sound of like a helicopter or a hovercraft, like a... It's like, it's a sound. It's incredible. Do you know that creation recognizes the sound of God? And if you've been birthed from the same waters that are of God, because you've been born again, not by going into your mother's womb again, but by being birthed in the Spirit, then you have a sound that creation's listening for. It's actually inclining its ear. It goes, I recognize this. I recognize this vibration. That's why it says the trees of the field clap their hands. We've been in some meetings where, you know, you start to speak about something and the wind starts to move and the trees, and you kind of wonder, what is creation? Is the spirit moving? Is the wind? What's happening? Are trees responding? Imagine the day when you can say hello to a tree and it bends over. It like can't incline itself to you. Like, how's it going? You know, or you want to pick fruit and it just bends to help you. You know, imagine that, you know, where you get to the stage where you don't want to climb anymore. How many tree climbers in the room? Gosh, are you guys okay? No tree climbers? Oh, there's a few. There's one over there. How are you going? Do you still do it? That's fabulous, isn't it? Is it okay that other people know now that you climb trees? It's okay. It's out now. Jesus. Okay. His voice. We're going to read some scripture. And then we're going to talk about some stuff. Okay. Wow. Whew. Okay, Revelation 1. We'll just skip through places. This disciple went through some of the most intense encounters. And he writes them really peacefully. But if you stop and pause and think about some of the things we write, they really are intense encounters. All right? Like many of the prophets in the Bible. In verse 9, it says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering. Companion in the suffering. Woo! We're suffering buddies. And kingdom and patient endurance. I laughed once. I heard Roland Baker say, gee, I wonder how many people would come to a conference called Patient Endurance. Long Suffering Conference International. What do you reckon? Do you think many people would come? That our hours in Jesus, wow, so it was Jesus as well, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. That's loud. Which said, this voice spoke. and said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. And those wonderful names that are difficult to speak of. Verse 12, he says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. Sometimes people get terrified and they hear the voice of God and they don't want to enter the room. They go, oh, God spoke to me. Why didn't you ask him to show you what it looks like? Show me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. You know, sometimes the Lord will show you something else before he shows you himself. But he's always teaching you and he's always showing you. And nothing is by accident that you see. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white as wool and white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Rushing waters. Rushing waters. Rushing waters. How are you supposed to remember all the stuff he tells you in these encounters? Oh my gosh, you're just stuck at the rushing waters. His voice sounds like water. Did you know his voice sounds like water? I mean, John, I think if you could have had a conversation with him, I think his eyes got bigger than was genetically possible for him. He was like, you got to hear his voice. Sometimes it sounds like this. And if it were us, we could go to a bathroom and just flush or open the taps full. Go, okay, it's kind of like this. This is the best I can do. Or come to a waterfall. Okay, stand under it. This is kind of like what it sounded like. And sometimes the prophets couldn't explain because it was something like. And I saw what looked like. And it seemed to me because they were overwhelmed. Because the voice of God is overwhelming. Do you know he can overwhelm you with kindness? Sometimes he tells me the simplest things. Like just, I like you. And I just bawl. I think, well, he just said, I like you. Because his voice overwhelms me. Because I believe him. You want to be overwhelmed by him? Why don't you start believing what he said about you? Look at it for a long time and go, this is me. We were hearing last night, this is my son, my beloved. And picture yourself in the water and the heavens are open and the Holy Spirit descends on your shoulder and remains there, wraps itself around you. And he says, you're my son, my beloved. And that's who you are. And you think, that's me. Not these are words written in a book for me to read sometime. But like, no, this is me, and I'm going to flesh that out. Beloved's going to become me, and I'm going to become beloved. Because when you believe it, you resonate with it. When you agree with God, you resonate with his reality, and it becomes manifest in you. Manifestation. You want manifestation? People go, I haven't felt God. I don't know how to feel him. And I don't know how to do that either for you. Like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I could do like Peter and John. They go, well, silver and gold have I none. What I've got, I'll give to you. Sometimes that doesn't work. You can stand sometimes and pray for people for sometimes 15 minutes, and they go, still feel nothing. And they're still like, come on, do something for me. God's saying, what more do you want me to do for you? Start with what I've done for you. Start with the goodies. Start with the treasure. Put your head into the river. And go and look at all those jewels at the bottom that he's left for you. The mysteries that are in Christ. Everything that he said is true about you. As he loves Jesus, so he loves you. He would never have sent his son if you weren't worth it. Sonic boom. People not feeling worthy will never, ever be able to cry, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. You want to cry worthy? You want to see the Lamb? Well, thank him for what he's done because you were worth it. And when you realize you were worth it, you realize, oh my God, he's so worthy. He did that for me. He's magnificent, worthy. And you can't stop saying it forever. You'll be saying it forever. We're never going to run out of the desire to tell him how worthy he is. It's like he's worthy forever. He's always been worthy. He hasn't become worthy. It's just that you realize that you're worthy for what he did. Shikaba. They've done tests, and I mean, you might have seen these things when they do. Every like I said to you, everything on this earth resonates at a certain frequency. So, for instance, glass resonates at a certain frequency. And so, I'm sure you might have seen this on TV or in a show where they'll have a glass standing there and an opera singer singing a note that resonates with the same vibration at the same pitch that that glass has been made out of. And at that same point, it shatters it. there's an effect, right? Yeah. Do you know the way your mindsets are shattered? Because Assyria is what tries to come and live here. Are you all okay? Yeah. You're just concentrating. Huh. Okay, I'm getting really hot though.
Overwhelmed. That? Yes. I've got all good things on my t-shirt. Magic trick. I just didn't want to take that off as well. All right.
The layers. All right, so where was I? Assyria. That is what gets shattered by coming into agreement with what God says. And here's an interesting thing. You don't have to agree with your feelings. Sometimes you think, I don't want to say this because I don't feel that. So what you're saying is, I'm going to agree with my feelings. Oh, that's amazing. How's that going for you? Because it doesn't go well for me. In fact, the longer you leave it, the worse the feeling gets. It's a revelation. I find here I'm going to try and just believe something really awful. How does it feel after a day? By day three, I'm suicidal. I'm like, oh God, deliver me. In fact, take me home. None of you have been there. No. Nobody. So your feelings are subject to what is true. I have really good friends that if I start to feel crazy, and when I say that, I mean like I'm starting to, my compass needle is not working anymore and I don't know where I'm at. I'm like, sometimes you have so many things coming at you so fast. They're missiles, untruths, accusations, and you just think, oh dear God, please don't suffer on your own. Have people that will hold you to account to your highest calling, that will say to you, you know, this is not the big picture. This right now is just what you're feeling. And you know what? That's subject to change. Because once you come into agreement with how he feels about you, because God's feelings are always good feelings. Really. If I had to see him angry, I'd even love that, I reckon, because I just think it's God's anger. It must be perfect. So whatever it is, it's good. Whatever he is good. If it's correction, like, hit me with it. I don't really mind because I trust him. You know, change me. Dear God, whatever it is, it's like, you know, sometimes you go through stages and you think, I don't know why that happened. Don't worry about wondering how long and how why. Why me? It doesn't matter anymore. You'll never answer that because it's happened. It's too late. Even if you get an answer, how the heck will that help you? I chose you to suffer. Oh, thanks a lot, you know. Don't worry about the why. Just think, how can I now come into agreement with what he's doing? Because his voice looks like something and his voice sounds like something. Let's carry on reading. His voice, it's amazing. It's so good. And every time you see these letters written to these seven churches, it says, always starts with, to the angel of the church, and whatever the name is, so it starts off with Ephesus, and it goes, and then it says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It says it over and over again. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Let him who has ears to hear. In other words, you can have ears but not hear. You can have great big ears and not hear. You might have a fabulous way of speaking to people, and you might be very coherent, but you might not have ears to hear. I find I learned so much profound things from my children. And they say the daftest things sometimes, but they're profound. I'm like, good grief, that's true. You know, our son won't let us leave the house unless we've made up, Finn and I. He goes, you guys need to say sorry to one another. And like, he'll come and check up on us. Did you say sorry? Did you apologize to you? Did you make right? Okay, just checking on us. And you just think, well, what's he on about? Well, that's profound. It's very important to him because it's important to the Spirit. That you let offenses go really quickly. Like as quickly as possible. Offenses are a snare. Offense is like a snare. There's nothing that'll stop you hearing the voice of God quicker than the offense. Offenses are what stops up the wells. Do you know that other people can't stop up your well? Under the, you know, in the Old Testament, we read about how the Philistines would get ahead and they'd come at night and they'd fill up the wells and they'd pour stones in. They'd fill it up so that you couldn't get any water. And it was like, it was a huge job to get those stones out. I mean, you figure out, you get to where you can't reach anymore, you've got to hold people to go down. I mean, what do? Do you have a whole lot of people going down to get those stones out? It's a big job. It's laborious. To unstop a well is a lot more work than to stop it up. But I have good news for you. It's not so much hard work now, because nobody can stop up your well. So you can't blame anybody for the way you think. You made me think like this. No, you didn't. You had your own thinking. And you decided to think a lot about it. Even if someone says awful things about you that are not true. And initially you don't believe them, but you think a lot about them. And eventually you are really in a bad way. And you go, but so-and-so said this about me. Well, why did you think about it so much? I've done that. And eventually I'm in a mess, and Finn says, what are you doing thinking about that stuff? I said, I don't know, they said it. He goes, well, you thought it again and again. You replayed that. So now you've got a whole bunch of these stones, which are just memories. Memorial stones are not supposed to be in your thinking if they're bad ones, bad memories. You don't want bad memories witnessing to the bad things that have happened, going, yes, right, we were there. I heard it. That's what they used to do. You know, they used to put memorial stones in place sometimes, and they believed they were witnesses. So they sometimes would have them in courts of law, and they would say, these stones, that's why it says, if you don't praise me, these stones will cry out, because they've seen, they have memory. They would sometimes, they found them when they did excavations in some of the, you know, archaeological diggings. I have big words. Actually, I used to love reading about archaeology when I was younger, but they found stones with these happy faces, no, with faces drawn on. I used to think they were happy, but it's not. That's just my imagination. They were just faces, all right? Maybe they were just straight lines like those funny things you see on Facebook, but yes, there were a lot of faces. And what happens is when you are stopped up and you can't hear the voice of God, you have in your mind faces. You see, faces are memories, because faces have voices. So you think, I'm going to have to dismantle every little voice. No, you don't. You just have to go to the big voice that sounds like many waters. And those many waters are able to deal with all those faces really quickly. Because there's nothing like the face of God. How big is his face? I've had the most terrible things said to me recently. Really awful. So awful that end of last year, I wanted to resign. I didn't want to be in this work anymore. I said, you know what, God, I've actually had enough. Really. No, really, I did. I said, I finally had enough. Finally. Finally, my dear brothers. And Finn doesn't listen to me anymore, because when I say to him, I've had enough, he just patiently listens to me. But truly, I had to come to the end of my tether. You know, people can say such unkind things, but I let it get in. And I stayed with those faces. And for a little while, I forgot what he sounded like. So I kept worshiping him. And that's a good thing to do. Let me tell you, I'd be in a worse way if I didn't. I'll tell you why. I didn't feel like worshiping. You know these songs we wrote? I wrote out of the worst time of my life. It Is Finished came out of the worst time. Fancy that. You're sitting there thinking, how can they say that? That's not even true. How many of you have ever been blessed by something that's said about you that's not true? Because if you're blessed by that, we need to pray for you. Maybe I didn't word it right, so you didn't understand what I said, but you can't be blessed by something that's not true about you. Shakaba. Let's keep reading. Him who has ears to hear. You know, if you go on to Revelation 2 and verse 17, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone. Ooh, we get white ones. You know those nice decorating ones? That cost a lot of money. With a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Your personal stone. With a name on it. It must be a good name because he gave it to you. I laugh, we all show each other our stones one day and it's the same name. That's just my crazy sense of humor. Beloved, you know? You're also beloved. Fancy that, that's me too. When did you receive that? Ah, you know. Ah, hidden manna. Oh, I want the hidden manna. People go, oh God, God's thoughts are so deep and so high. We just, how could you fathom them? As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are his ways, and how could we possibly get up there? Well, okay, it's happened. You're there with him, with his thoughts. And here's the fantastic thing. He actually wants to share his thoughts with you. You can sometimes be with the Lord with your head on his chest, and he doesn't have to say anything. But you start to dream. How many of you have done that? He doesn't speak, but just his spirit is vibrating. His spirit on his chest is vibrating. Those feathers are moving. And suddenly you start to daydream and you think, it must be just me. No, you know what? It's you and him dreaming. Because you start to resonate with what he dreams about. He's a lot more fun. I really need him because he's a lot more fun than the most fun part of me. Now, I love to have fun, but he's much more fun. And I reach for that. And I dream about that, and I listen to that, and I vibrate with that, and I dream. And if I hadn't dreamt, I would never continue writing. People go, how do you continue writing? I can't help it because I continue listening, and I continue hearing, and I eat the hidden manna. Because you know what? It's only hidden till you find it. How many want to find it? It's like hide and seek. And he leaves little clues. So he leaves, it's like Hansel and Gretel. He'll leave a little crumb there. And then you just go, ooh, ooh, what is this? And so you eat it. And you think, that was good, but I want more. And so you follow, and you find another little piece. And you see somebody else that says something great, and you think, oh, that's good news. I'm going to eat that. You see, if you eat those little crumbs, you're going to get to the goodies. If you keep eating the little things, God can give you the big stuff. You want to know more? Just inquire of him. Search after him. You can have as much as you want. And people don't have much because they don't want more. If you want it badly enough, you will have more. You can have as much revelation as you want to. You can become as much revelation as you want to. I think the most fabulous gift that God has given us is hunger for him. It's a gift. But when you get a gift, receive it and go, oh, this is a gift of hunger. I want to value this. I never want to stop hungering. I'm hungry for manna. I'm hungry, not because I want to have my ears tickled. No, because I need a change. I need to change some more. I need to go deeper still because I need a change. Oh, Jesus. I don't love the way I should. I don't forgive as quickly. I get resentful. I get really mad with people. It's amazing to you. I get so mad. It frightens me because I think I'm female. This feels like testosterone. This... What happened? And I look for the great big hairs and there isn't anything. It's just me feeling really protective. And no one needs to come close to my kids. If people come to me and say, did you see what one of your kids put up on Facebook? I go, mind your own business. Back off my kids. I'm not raising my kids for you. Let me come look at your friends. Let me see some of the comments you've been making. I'll come look after you. I'll come see what you're doing. Jesus. Sorry, you just saw a little part of my heart. I'm very protective over our kids. I've told our kids, I said, listen, we're raising you for life. I had an encounter with the Lord says, prepare them for heaven. That doesn't mean prepare them to die. It means prepare them to live the way God lives. Prepare them for what he really is like. Tell them who he really is. Tell them who they really are. So I'm not raising kids. Have we got the same t-shirt? No, yours is different, but it's kind of cool. Sorry, I just realized. That's awesome. It's kind of like an eye test. Sorry. We're raising children for heaven. I can't go so slow. This is very slow. I feel like I'm getting mud inside. Whee. Jesus. Okay, we'll skip the Jezebel part. Okay. Don't like to talk about that one. Yeah, it's not a good one, that one. That's a bad voice. That's a very bad voice, okay? Yep. But apparently she only talks for like 2 years. She's only got 2 years, but we've got forever. Okay, it's just a 2 year stint. Don't worry. She's finished. And you know what? Bones of the mighty army in Ezekiel, they came together because of the voice. What do you see? Bones. What are you going to do about it? Well, don't just look at them. Speak to them. Breathe on them because breath is voice. You try and speak without having breath. You can't do that, can you? God gave Adam his voice. And God took Eve's voice. He took a lot of voice out of Adam. He just left him with like a tenth and took 9/10 out and made a yabba yabba. And she woke up and go, oh, pretty, look, everything is like pale pink and orange and peach. And he goes, this is just... never mind. She began to educate him to the different shades of flowers in the garden. He just thought they were red and white. Said, no, honey, it's fuchsia and magenta. And let's call this one. She said, call it pink. No, no, this is peach and apricot. And... Okay, chapter 5, let's skip a bit. Oh, but we'll just do this one. Verse 8 of chapter 5. It says, and when he had taken it, which was a scroll, okay, it being a scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. Every time you worship, you are joining up the great heavenly choir, that is worshiping together with you. You never worship alone. You're part of a symphony. You're part of an orchestra. You're part of the great cacophony of sounds around the throne, and it's beautiful. And you're part of that. And so every time I worship, I don't think I'm by myself. I just think it's really, God's given me his full attention, but there are a whole lot of us here. And they sang a new song, "You're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Verse 11, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" Okay, we're not going to go to verse 13. We're going to pause at 11. "I looked and heard the..." Was it voices? The voice. The voice. What does your Bible say? Voice. The voice of many angels. Thousands upon thousands and 10,000 upon 10,000. But it wasn't voices. It was voice. Angels can only reflect one sound, one frequency at a time. When you hear many at different frequencies, they are resonating the different frequencies in you. Do you know they look for your song? They come from the face, but they're looking for your song because they're saying that matches him. That's right. That sound matches him. That sound matches him. And the Lord says, that's right. My voice is many waters, but they are one voice. And you know what? The many waters are in you. And your sound is like many waters. You have one voice. But when it comes out of you, it has the potential to change many things at one time because they were not created with glory in them, but you are. You are created with the same capacity that Christ had in him. And so he was able to speak one thing, answer one question, and then annihilate a whole lot of others. And everybody was dumbfounded because they realized, oh, I had 10 other questions, but he's just answered those. It's like the greatest lawyer that ever lived. He just could read their minds. And with one statement could just shatter arguments. And they were dumbfounded at his wisdom. You want wisdom? Do you want wisdom? Well, I tell you what, agree with what's in you. And when you read the Bible, don't think this is so hard. I've done that so many times. This is so difficult. It's such a big book. It's so much stuff in there. And then I remember, but he's feeding me manna. He's not stuffing your mouth with 5 loaves. He's not trying to get the whole of that party that he fed 5,000 with, trying to stuff it into your mouth. That's why he took 5 loaves and gave it to a whole lot of people. Because he goes, here's some, I'll multiply it. You see, you receive one truth from God, God will multiply it in you. And the more you share that one truth and you become it, God will multiply it in you. You multiply the truth. Now, God's going to do that physically in this land, and he is doing it, and God will do that supernaturally so that you find that there's nothing quicker that moves like truth. Nothing moves faster than good news. Nothing. I tell you what, it doesn't matter what rumor goes around about any one of you. His truth moves faster. Because it's already moved. So that accusation is moving sluggishly, actually. It's just on Facebook and thousands of people know, but like, it's just really sluggish. Because the forever has been resounding praise. It's been saying, beloved. It just shatters all the other voices. Karamashandi. Verse 13. "Then I heard," oh Jesus, imagine this, people. You know what? Your imaginations need some watering. It's probably one of the most underused muscles. I reckon. How can God do more than what we imagine unless we start somewhere? Imagine. But try switch this on for this particular verse, because he said that I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them. Dear God, what did that sound like? How long did he take to recover from that encounter? He actually heard it. He heard the sound of every creature up, underneath, under the rocks, creepy crawlies, things that swim, fishies, every creature. And everything that is inside that creature was coming out. Dear God, I would have needed sedatives after an encounter like that. And we wonder, like, they lay us dead before the Lord. You would too. Do you know that if you go into an encounter, you can lie there a little longer and have some more? I tell people, don't wreck their buzz. They are out. Don't go and mess with them. You know, honey, we need to move the car. Just move the car. Leave them there. Get them in the morning. Because if God's meeting with them, don't worry about the car. Honey, we need to pick up the don't worry about the groceries. You can eat cheese in the morning. I don't care, because God's meeting with me. Now, we do have a funny thing, though. We have some volunteers who want to come to conferences, but they want to know if they don't have to do any work, because the volunteers come for free, or less. And they go, well, what happens if I'm an encounter and I'm a volunteer? We go, we'll get you out of it, don't worry. Get those chairs. You volunteered, you got to work, right? So you got to, because that's your word, all right? If you tell someone you're going to be there at 10 o'clock, you better come and out of an encounter and be there. I think your word is important. How do people believe you unless you give them your word and you're there, right? You know, people say, gee, you're amazing, get up and have babies and just go. The story where Finn tells that I had a baby on Saturday and was at church on Sunday, it was purely because I gave my word to the keyboardist that I'd be there for her. Thinking, I'd have the baby on Monday. Sunday, I'll be fine. But I didn't. Baby came on Saturday. And I thought, dang, I gave my word. So I was there on Sunday. I went up onto the stage with Bubby in a sling. I said, okay, I'm here. I told you I'd be here. She goes, oh my God, what are you doing? I said, I gave you my word. It's important. Okay. Okay, I will tell you, because I think we're coming to the end now. I've spoken for long enough. One of the encounters that we're going to sing a song sometime called Radiant. And we had a young couple come to our church. They're just full of fire. Jeremy and Miranda Nelson. They're just beautiful revivalists, and they came to our church and they were praying for people. You know how it is when you're hosting something, you don't usually get to get prayer, especially if you're on worship team or stuff. You're usually behind watching everyone and you're, wah, get engaged. You just think that's fabulous. You're serving. It's great. But this time I just thought, man, I want to go and have prayer. I just thought, I'm going to follow these guys around. So I put someone else on keys and I followed them around. And I thought, I'm just going to, anything that's left over that somebody doesn't take, I'm just going to pretend I'm catching it, and I'm getting it as well. So by the time we went around the whole church, because we lined everybody up, and we might do that if we have impartation, just line everyone up. It's really cool, because then if you fall, you're up against the wall. You can just slide, right? You don't need catches. It's great. The structure holds you. So this is a great point, eh? Your structure will hold you. And where was I? Okay, yes, so I followed them around. By the time we came back to the front, I was feeling very dipsy-doo. I was like, oh, dear Jesus. And so I was about the second to last person they prayed for. And so I thought, I'm going to sit down because it can be wild. So I'm going to sit in a chair. And I'd sometimes do that. That's a practical thing. If you know people go all over the place, don't wait for them to break their backs. Just put them in a chair and go, we'll pray for you while you're sitting, right? Nothing wrong with being practical. You're not hurting Holy Spirit's feelings. He's a great big Holy Spirit. He's not touchy about things like that, all right? So all they did was just pray for me. They just said, I don't even know what they said, but they just touched my hands like that, and I just got catapulted into a time with the Lord that I was completely overwhelmed in. I was in this white, hot, place, and it was white hot. That's all I knew. And I was in the middle looking around, and I thought I was screaming. I don't know. I mean, I was flaying around. It felt violent. And the sound of what I was hearing was these enormous flames. Like, picture the biggest flame you've ever seen, but it was white with like a tinge of blue, but it was just like that, seven of them. And they were just, I was completely overwhelmed. My whole body was burning. I thought, I'm going to explode. I'm in the middle of this. I'm inside this. And I remembered all these scriptures. He says, I'm going to be a wall of fire around you and the glory within. And I realized, we're in the middle of this. He's surrounding me. And then he said, that's right. You think seven spirits are just seven, whoo, 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 you know, wafting ones. No, these are seven burning ones. They burn. These are seven consuming. This is Holy Spirit. This is Holy Spirit. This is Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of the counsel of the Lord, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the sovereign Spirit. Wow. And I let that consume me. I stayed in there and I thought, I don't mind how long this lasts. I want to stay in it. I want to stay in the middle of this place and I want him to teach me about what this is. I want him to teach me. And so much in my life changed after that one encounter. You see, people underestimate what a few minutes in his presence can do. And when you take that encounter with you, you don't think it's a time thing. I had an encounter in that time. You take that with you because you are an encounter. You are made up of God's kiss in you. How else are we? You're either kissed by the enemy or you're kissed by you. And by the way, if a betrayer kisses you, it's just a cheek. You can't get on the inside. It's just your cheek. It's just your outside. And you can choose who can betray you. You can choose them. But sometimes it's only afterwards that you realize you chose them. And you want to change it. But you can't, right? All right. The white hot flame of God. This is who we are encountering. The center of his throne is a burning flame. He is consuming fire. His sound consumes you. It occupies you. You try and unsee something you've seen. If it's true and it's real, it's of God, you can't unsee it because it's happened. It's birthed from an eternal realm and it's now obliterated time. No amount of time can take that away. Because it's eternal. So I want his voice. I want his sound. I want his words. I want to take his words. And don't worry if you can't read the Bible in a year. If you could just get some of this good stuff into you in a year, that would be good. Because reading is great and it's good to read big portions. But when God reveals something to you, plunge your face in it. Plunge your being into it. Saturate yourself in it. Take it. Write a song about it. That's what I do. That's all I love to do. Is I think you've shown me this. I'm going to write a song about it. That would be fabulous. Because I want everyone to see that. Because his voice is visible. And when you sing it, you can see it. Because when you say it, you can see it. Because when you say it, you create it. Shakaba. We do a lot of deliverance. People might get delivered tonight. But, you know, spirits come out with shrieks. They have a sound. Their sound is terror. They're terrified of the voice. They will forever be banished, and they know that. And that's why they shriek. Yeah, Shikaba. And sometimes people, like, you know, they ride around for hours. We don't have to be laborious about spirits. You don't have to do tug of war with a spirit. Come out. No, I won't. Okay, yes, you will. No, I won't. Yes, you will. We engage people. We say, look, do you want this to live in you? No. Do you want to believe this? No. Okay, well, you send it away then. Because as soon as they're involved, they realize, dear God, I let that in. I don't want that to stay in me. I don't want that thinking to stay in me because every evil thinking will eventually have a spirit identity that hovers around it because it recognizes that sound. I don't want evil spirits hovering around me. Sometimes they just come because they just want to freak you out, you know? Oh, you're going to get sick. You're going to get die early. How many of you had that? You've had cancers in your family. Think, I'm the next one. You know, that's it. Those are all thinkings. God's voice. So we speak it out. Jesus. Shakara Mashandi. Deep. I wish it was that clear to know what to do next. Oh. Uraba Shaka Marabashandi. They took him. Should we do something?
What I saw in the spirit while Izzy was speaking is going to sound a little bit weird now, all right, but when the prophetic type people speak, don't expect to have the same experience as a teacher, because the prophets are different, and they see into that realm that is like almost a daily occurrence to them. If Izzy told you a fraction of the things she sees as a seer, some of you would be shocked. And yet, she's been reading from the Bible, the book of Revelation, that is constantly talking about seeing sounds. Sounds like John was on LSD in Patmos. And yet, that is as much part of the Bible as the book of Romans is. And I love the academic, intellectual content of theology in the book of Romans, but God breathed the book of Revelation with the same integrity and purpose for the church. And I believe that's why we are the body, because the prophets need the teachers, but the teachers need the prophets. And the church needs to go much more prophetic. And it's not just a happy little charismatic prophecy. I see a dartboard with three jellyfish on, and they got... I don't know if you understand what this is. I don't know why I'm telling you this. Well, then don't tell me. Because the Bible says that when the prophets speak in the house of God, go ahead and have fun. When the prophets speak in the house of God, people should fall on their faces and worship God, because they know that the secrets of their hearts has been unveiled. Now, people with a law, old covenant, condemnation thinking think they fall on their faces because they've been so overwhelmed that all the sin in their hearts has been exposed. No, they fall on their faces and say, God is really in this house, and worship God. They don't fall on their faces repenting and confessing all their sins. They fall on their faces and worship God. Because the secrets of their heart, what secrets? Their longings, their yearnings, their desires for the affections of God, their longings for God's tender attentions, the longings to know that God knows everything about their lives and accepts them unconditionally. That's what the prophetic should do. It should cause worship and wonder that God knows the secrets of her heart. So I saw this, and I've submitted it to Finney, and I've submitted it to Izzy, because I don't want to be misunderstood. But I felt like I saw myself standing up here, and Izzy standing there in proxy and on behalf as a lightning conductor for every woman in this house that would like to stand, that any time you have felt hindered and restricted in your spirituality and a desire to step out into the understandings of the truth of God and become adventurous and colorful in the freedom of knowing your personality blossoming in wonder because you're under the protection and the safety of the structure of God. You're under the protection of divine government, divine order, and the peace of heaven. Now, people might think, well, gee, you're just going to give liberty to some women who are going to go crazy and become Jezebels. No. Because there's been a woman of integrity speaking here, and a woman who's released that integrity of grace and confidence and safety and sanity over this house. I believe this is not releasing some weird female spirit. This is releasing. Well, you could get a bit of testosterone and grow a few hairs. I mean, that part was a bit scary. I mean, no, you won't get that. But there's a protection over the womb. The father has a protection over the womb and a love for the womb that produces more of the children of the barren woman than she that has child. So there's a whole lot of reasons for this. So you don't have to do this. But if you're a woman, just check first. But if you are a woman, would you please stand? If you want to, you don't, not everyone. And Izzy, why don't you come and stand here? Finny, why don't you come stand behind Izzy? I want every lady in this house just to say, Father, I want to be activated. I want to be released into a fresh confidence. I felt when Izzy was talking about that period where, at the end of last year, I think, where people had spoken such cutting, accusing words that weren't true, and how that can actually create like a damage to your soul, and that Izzy's come through that, and that the washing of the sound of God's voice has removed all the faces on those stones and unblocked your wells. And when she spoke tonight, you can feel in the atmosphere a weighty glory over this house. That's because her wells are unblocked, all right? So she's an unblocked well standing in proxy for every woman standing up now. And I want to bless her in the name of Jesus. And I believe the sweeping shield of favor is going to come over Izzy, because she's going to go into greater realms of revelation and greater walk with God. And at this higher level, she's going to need a greater calibration of angelic protection and the heavenly host come around her, a shield of favor, so that she can go on for decades and decades and not have her wells stopped even for a month or day, but she can just stay unblocked for the rest of her life. And as I pray for her, for that release, God's going to come on every lady here, and there will be deliverance. So don't be afraid, all right? Please don't be afraid. If chochos leave you, then don't be afraid, okay? Can a Christian have a demon? No. But a demon sometimes can have a Christian. All right. Now, now, as a Christian, this is my theology. And when you get to heaven, you'll know I'm right. No, I'm joking. But this is my theology. As a Christian, you cannot be demon-possessed. You are God indwelt. So don't think we're casting demons out of you. They're not coming out of you. But they can oppress you. And they can settle on your thought patterns like a stronghold of influence and torment and pain and emotional loud, shrieking, tormenting, accusing voice. And today, that stronghold will come off you as ladies in Jesus' name. As I pray for Izzy, there'll be a transaction in the spiritual. So don't be afraid of that happens. Release your emotions. Let it flow. Don't hinder. Don't hold back. Let the Holy Spirit come and put His arms around you and break off limitations, break off restrictions, break off confinement. We're talking about divine order. We're talking about you honoring the headship of your husband. Izzy honors the headship of Finney. We We're not talking about some silly thing here. We're talking about women blossoming in boldness and confidence and personality and color and just celebrating who they are, not comparing themselves with other women. Okay, so we're going to do that. All right, men, I want you quietly praying in the spirit. All the men, those testosterone, masculine. All right, so men, just get praying in that bass tone. And the women... Father, we want to thank you for every woman in this house. We thank you as the blessing of God comes upon Izzy, that anointing will transact supernaturally across this house, and the presence of glory will come on every dear, precious woman in this house, every daughter of glory, every daughter of heaven, every princess of heaven, in Jesus' name. So Izzy, we loose the glory of heaven, a new anointing, a fresh activation of supernatural administration, a new divine order of power into your life and upon your life, in Jesus' name. We release the fire of heaven, the burning stones of heaven, in Jesus' name. And you will carry fireballs in your hand, and you will throw fireballs into the universe. You'll throw fireballs into the heavenlies, and fireballs into the church, and fireballs into the ministry, and fireballs into the world, and fireballs into darkness, and everything the enemy has tried to do against you, it will be turned around for your good, the good of the church, the good of ministries, and you will write many books, many, many books, many, many books on revelation, many, many books on revelation, and the books will have impartation, for the books will be living books, and even as people read the books, they will be activated into the prophetic in Jesus' name. So we release that anointing to be fullness of women, fullness of femininity, fullness, no more bullying, no more restricting, no more bullying, no more unkindness, no more breaking down. Everything that comes against women, every attack of the evil one, we declare tonight the glory of their husband, Jesus Christ, manifests against every attack against women in Jesus' name. Even now, those women in this house that have been trying to fall pregnant, even now your wombs are opened. Even now you are conceiving. You're not conceiving now, but you can conceive after you and your husband have had some fun. But we declare fertility in the womb in Jesus' name. Freedom in the womb in Jesus' name. Fire! Freedom. Fire of every woman. Fire. Liberty. Freedom. Yeah, freedom. Just keep praying, men, just a little longer. When Izzy talked about that anger and that she felt women shouldn't have this anger, it feels like testosterone. That's because women are often suppressed and told to keep quiet and behave in a certain way. And I want to tell you, some ladies in this house, I can sense you have felt that anger and that frustration, and it's worried you. But I want to tell you the loving presence of the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter, he's the counselor, and he's putting you in a safe place. This is a grace house. No one's judging you, but I tell you, you need to let that stuff out of you right now. There's a lot more emotion locked up and suppressed, and this is not psychology, friends. This is not auto-suggestion. This is getting free. There's stuff that needs to come out to unblock those wells, and I'm telling you, as you respond to the Holy Spirit, any last remnants of some demonic leverage or oppression that is robbing you of your joy, is robbing you of the ability to celebrate life, to be celebrate yourself, and enjoy who you're made to be, and be so feminine and yet so creative and so fertile and so fruitful, This day, we declare the release from your hearts of every frustration and anger and feeling that you've been restricted and bullied into a belittled position. This night, we're not saying you're victims. We're saying you're good, wonderful women that have done your best to walk the Christian walk, but the Lord wants you to break out in a holy violence, and that is not common to women, but it is. You're going to be a Deborah tonight. You're going to be a warrior princess tonight. You're going to jump on demons and smash them. And she, come on, just loose that female roar. Hey! Fire, Lord! Fire, Lord! Fire, Lord!